is Something More by Jason Kent. Jason joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. So Jason, was that the first song you put out on your new album that you shared, the first single?
That was the first song. The algorithms got screwed up because it got released as Sunfields instead of Jason Kent. There was a little mistake on the side of the distributors, but all is well again. And the reason I decided to put it out as Jason Kent was because I hadn't released, quote unquote, a solo record in 16 years. And this was truly a solo effort. So it felt wrong calling it Sunfields.
Great. So, for those that want to find your music, jasonkentmusic.bandcamp.com has this new album. And it also has the album that you referred to, the one that you put out about 15 years ago. So folks can find both of them there.
Yeah. My 2006 debut. If you're looking to buy a CD, you can still get it on eBay.
Oh, awesome.
Much to my amazement. It's the only copies left.
Right. And so how many albums have you written in the pandemic, Jason? I feel like you've been like super prolific.
This is my third pandemic record. I got two kids at home and a recording studio. So I had, aside from home renos, like a lot of people undertook, recording was kind of one of my saviors. The other one was buying a sailboat, a new passion of mine. Three records happened during the pandemic. And this is the second one coming out. And the next one, I guess maybe in another year or so, because I feel like you need to space them out a little bit.
It's right.
Enough of an effort to get them out. Writing and recording is the easy part. Just trying to get it out into the world is a whole other thing.
Well, let's listen to another song off your album. Let's listen to Don't Hang Me On. And so this is Jason Kent, and it's off his new album, Soft Commotion, out March 31st.
All my wars.
That was Don't Hang Me On by Jason Kent. Jason Kent joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. So Jason, before we played that song, you touched on a couple of things. So you talked about how you've written three albums during the pandemic, and also about the fact that you purchased a sailboat. Where do you find, like, do you think of music and do you write your songs when you're like out in nature? Are you more inspired in your studio, or can you talk a little bit about kind of what kind of sparks your songs when you write them?
Yeah, usually there's, like most people, just a little idea, like a riff or a melody that's kind of lounging in your head. And then it's literally one of those things for me. Sometimes I have to chase it. Like, it's so close that I just chase it for 5 minutes and it's there. Other times I chase it for weeks. But I really think a lot of these songs came out of, I wouldn't say boredom, but almost necessity. It's like, okay, the melody's there. As soon as I pick up a guitar or I get on the piano, it'll probably manifest itself within 10 minutes. And if it doesn't, I usually just kind of let it fall to the wayside. I mean, dozens and dozens of songs that I almost finished that I just kind of lost interest in. It's really just a matter of which ones do you start recording, because at least for me, the well doesn't seem to dry up. And it's kind of frustrating because I play in so many other bands, and I don't even want to talk about that right now. Sorry, I don't know where I'm going with that, Mary, but all that to say, I just usually once I pick up the guitar or the piano, I usually finish the piece within an hour. And once I start recording, I still leave things open to chance. Sometimes I don't have a chorus and I just kind of see what comes up. So it's like doing it live, but you're right. Alone, you know?
And then the three albums that you've created during the pandemic, are they grouped kind of after the fact? So did you collect them kind of after the fact? So the album that we're listening to tonight, Songs from Soft Commotion, were they kind of written in like in a linear form, or were they kind of grouped together due to similar styles, for example?
Yeah, that's a good question. These ones, I would say four of the songs on it actually were supposed to be on my last record, Late Bloomers, but just out of having too many songs and wanting to see the vision through for the last record, I kind of pulled off a lot of the mellow tunes and I kind of went with a more up-tempo record. So this song actually does feature songs that were recorded like 2 years ago, right at the beginning of the pandemic. And I kind of kept them for this kind of side project of Sunfields called, you know, Jason Kent, which is Sunfields is still me too. But these songs aren't necessarily all written, let's say, in a space of 6 months. There's kind of a couple of years between some of them. I wanted to have more of an artsy, weird record, and that's what this Jason Kent is. I felt like it was a little bit too side of the road for Sunfields.
Cool. Well, why don't we listen to another song off this album? Let's listen to Age of Emotion, and then we'll come back and we'll chat more.
Yeah. Rock and roll healer.
was Age of Emotion by Jason Kent. And Jason Kent's new album, Soft Commotion, comes out March 31st. You can find his music at jasonkentmusic.bandcamp.com and on some other streaming platforms as well, I believe.
Just a little side note, Mary, sure. That last song we played, Age of Emotion, it was mixed by this great guitar player / producer who has an amazing studio out in Dorset, England, named Luke Potashnik.
Really?
And I discovered him through this other musician I know in England. And I just saw some YouTube videos of him playing guitar and I was like, holy cow. And then I realized that he'd recorded a lot of his stuff and other people's stuff that I admire. So I looked him up and I found him and I contacted him. And he was way out of my budget, but I sent him the song and he loved the song so much that we bypassed his manager and he kind of shaved off a couple hundred pounds to mix the song for me. And I'm just really happy to have him on the record.
That's
Luke Potashnik,
cool.
Just a really great, I have a lot of different mixers on this record, just 5 different mixers. I like having different people draw out different maps for me. And like I said, he's only on this one song because he was still quite pricey, but yeah, hail Luke Potashnik.
That's really cool. So do you, when you select the people to mix them, is it kind of in line with the theme of, or like with the style of the song? Like do you kind
exactly.
of.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's really neat.
Like I kind of think of a song and go, oh, this guy would be great. Or this girl right. would be great. And then I kind of reach out to them. And like I said, depending on, you know, kitching, how much they're charging and if right. the timing works out, then it works out. And I have, like I said, different mixers on this and I just love handing it over to different people and kind of seeing what they come up with. At the same time, having an idea of what they will bring to it, you know, knowing that they're going to bring what I want to it.
And so let's talk a little bit about the instrumentation and who plays on this album.
Yes.
So like take us through some of the players on the album.
I kind of have my usual suspects are kind of always the same. And this is actually the second record that I make with Francis Mino, who is the drummer of Malajub. And he's also one of the mixing engineers on it. So he plays all the drums on this. We kind of live close to each other. We both have kids, hang out a lot. He's got a recording studio as well. So I was just sending him the songs back and forth. So it's predominantly just me and Francis on the record. I had other friends. I ended up cutting their parts. But another usual suspect is Sam Goldberg, who's always on my records, who just released a beautiful record called Sam Jr. on Arts and Crafts. He's got all that support, which is great. I don't have as much support. And Brad Barr, like always, is on the record. He's actually just singing oohs and ahs because he's got a great ear for harmony. I don't have him play guitar because I'm kind of covering that field myself. And unfortunately, and I spoke to Angela yesterday, Angela DeVoe, who I think is the greatest singer of all time. I played in a country band with her for years called Sunny Best Band. Unfortunately, this is the first record I make. This is my 6th record that I make between Jason Kent and Sunfields. This is the first one that she doesn't sing on. And that was really just purely pandemic thing. I just, you know, she couldn't get here and I didn't bother sending her tracks. And I feel really sad that she's not on it. But that's pretty much the cast of players. Eric Lawrence on pedal steel.
Yeah. And so were they all, was any of the music recorded kind of remotely in a different place than from where you were due to the pandemic? Like was some of the music kind of traded electronically as versus you guys being in a studio together, or how did that work?
Yeah. Well, during the height of the pandemic, Francis, the drummer, had just had a baby. So they still didn't know the effects of the virus on babies. So that was one of those things where we're just emailing back and forth. And only like, I would say a year ago, could I start going to his house and we could actually start, I'd play the bass with him live off the floor. Right. But most of the drums were kind of done just kind of in each other's home studios. And that's also the other reason there are so few players on it, because I kind of go deep into the rabbit hole. I love that rabbit hole. It's a very cozy place.
Yeah.
And I get lost. Unfortunately, I feel bad for my kids because I'll be in that weird daze as I come up for lunch and I try to be present. But, you know, when you're in the middle of a song, it's like you're in this crazy, beautiful world that you're just painting and making the colors. So it's hard for me to get out of. So for those reasons, that's why there's not many players. And I'm pretty comfortable on a lot of instruments, so I didn't have to reach out to too many people. But I still love collaborating, and I hope that the next record is definitely way more open with way more people again, you know?
Cool. Well, let's listen to another song off this album, your new album, Soft Commotion, out March 31st. This is Jason Kent joining me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. Let's listen to Do You Remember? Remember by Jason Kent. If you'd like to find his music that we just heard, you can find him at jasonkentmusic.bandcamp.com. And his Instagram's also, what's your Instagram? Instagram.com/JDMK. Is that correct?
JDMK. Yeah, I just changed it over to a band profile. I don't know if I can unchange it, but yeah, JDMK is my real name, Jason David Michel Kent. And yeah. I actually didn't mention this, but in the cast of players is also my old friend, buddy, bandmate, Andrew Rodriguez of Bodega and Good Bad Kids and his solo record, Andrew Rodriguez. I had him sing some harmonies on with me, harmonies on Here Comes, not Here Comes the Light, jeez. He sung harmonies on Do You Remember?
Oh, okay.
Because it was already so George Harrison-y and Beatle-y. And if anybody knows Andrew, and if anybody knows me, we're pretty much the two biggest Beatle geeks across Canada. I know there's dozens and dozens of them out there, but anyways, I thought it was the perfect song for him to sing on. So that's one of the occasions where I sent him the files. And I pretty much had the three-part harmonies organized and arranged so he didn't have to do too much thinking. He just sent me back the parts, but he did a great job singing on that with me.
That's awesome. Yeah, he's got a beautiful voice, and you guys sound excellent together.
That's such a good voice.
So tell us about the your album art. So your album cover is really cool. It's like a black and white photo, and it almost looks like, is it three photos overlaid of your face? Like,
yeah, it's two photos, yeah. And I believe they're both when you kind of flip left right.
Yes.
It was an app actually that I got on Instagram, and I hadn't paid the full price, so I had to kind of take screenshots. It was kind of a pain in the butt. I had a whole other record cover that was white that kind of matched my first album cover, which is also white. Yeah. And it was me wearing an Amish hat. It was kind of a profile pic, which I may use later on, but it was a 180 decision to go kind of, well, I kind of have already done the white thing. Why don't I just have a full black cover? And while I was mucking about with this app, I had that image within 4 minutes of playing around with it. And then it was really just one of those things. I was just having fun with an application. And I was like, perfect, done. I don't have to call anybody. There it is.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then, so a question for you now. So this album, it's 11 songs. How did you come up with the order of them, like from start to finish? Like, take us through how you put an album in order.
Well, to be honest with you, that's an amazing question. And I find it one of the most difficult things to actually come up with is a good track listing, the sequencing. So I asked quite a few friends their opinions, and I think Francis, the drummer on this, came up with like 90% of the flow of the record. It's a very difficult thing, but the first song starts as kind of a piano ballad, sounds like very 1970s, All Things Must Pass. And I just wanted to set the tone right away for the record, like, hey, I'm not gonna do these insane guitar riffs and, you know, these blistering solos. Of course, there's maybe a few, but I just wanted to set the tone for the record. So it kind of starts mellow, and it just says everything that I want to say. It's kind of nerdy. It's got all the right chords for any songwriters out there. Like, you have a lot of fun listening to it. There's all the tricks of the trade are in there, but it's still genuine, and I'm trying to say something, you know?
And that's Like the Sun. Is that correct?
Like the Sun, exactly. And the piano was recorded at Pierre Marchand's studio, who was Sarah McLachlan's producer. He's got a great studio here in Montreal. And I was there doing a session with somebody else for 2 days. And I said, hey, do you guys mind if on the lunch break tomorrow, I kind of just record the piano? I don't touch the mics, but while everybody's taking 45 minutes for lunch, I can just track one of my songs on piano. There's no problem. So I had it all set up with the recording engineer, John Caspi, that the following day, when lunch comes, he'd be ready and I'd be at the piano. And I did four takes, and this beautiful stand-up Steinway piano. And it sounded so good that I took out all the acoustic guitars, because I was like, when the piano sounds that good, you don't have to hide anything.
Right.
So that's a little fun little
I love thing. That story. Well, yeah. On that note, why don't we listen to that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more about the rest of the songs, okay?
Yeah.
Behind my wall, the boy is small, but can't you see? It's still me behind my wall, behind my
That was Like the Sun by Jason Kent, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. So tonight we're playing through a whole bunch of songs off his newest album. If you like what you just heard, you can find his music at jasonkent.bandcamp.com. And his Instagram is instagram.com/JDMK. So Jason, you were just kind of taking us through the order of the songs on the album. And I guess maybe another question for you that I'm interested in is which song on this album kind of changed the most from its kind of demo form into to its final form?
I know exactly which one. 1983.
Really?
Which started as a jam I was having at this studio called Wild Studios up in Saint-Zénon. It's about an hour and a half north of Montreal. And it was about a year into the pandemic, and I was making a record there with a band called Lucille. It's a Franco band that's very kind of Tom Petty-ish. Anyways, me and Francis had been jamming, and I came up with this riff. And it's kind of one of those things, harping back to what we were talking about earlier, where I had this guitar riff that I really liked, and then I got back into the recording. But then I found it 2 months later, and as soon as I found it and I started re-recording it, like right away, I was a month deep into this song because I knew it was going to bring out all these things, but I had no vocal melody. I had no idea what the song was going to bring. And I asked my buddy, Joe Major, who lives up in the Laurentians. I sent him the song and he sent me back, which is very rare from a drummer. Any drummers listening out there, two mics, one overhead and one kick. That's all he sent me. And it sounded amazing. It's just the power of a good drummer. So there's another musician that kind of, we were throwing files back and forth. And then after I did the drums, I was like, would you play congas on this? Which is like putting a kid in a candy shop. He was like, oh my God. But that song was really, it was just a clean slate, a fresh palette. I had no idea what was going to happen. And it's very kind of bluesy and a lot of DI tones. And it's kind of got all these gritty, very few words. I have no idea what it's about. But it's one of those that kind of came together like that, you know?
Let's listen to that then. This is, listen to that. It's called 1983. It's on Jason Kent's new album called Soft Commotion.
Night.
That was 1983 by Jason Kent. He joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. So Jason, throughout the show tonight, you've been kind of touching upon just different studios that maybe your songs have been recorded in. So like, how many different music studios would you say in your life you've been in? Like, and have you taken kind of those pieces of your favorite parts and into how you've created your own home one?
Well, I have the only recording studio that I really would like to go into would be Abbey Road, which I haven't been into yet. Right. I have been into Island Records in London, where the Eagles and countless bands have recorded there. There's a basement studio that's just amazing. I have some, Abbey Road has now teamed up with this company called Chandler. So they're remaking all these really cool vintage things. And I have the Red 47, which is basically one of the consoles, the strips that they had at Abbey Road in the mid 60s up to about the White Album they were recording on these consoles. So I do have things, and I know I'm paying an extra $500 to put in my logo, but man, does it feel good. And I bought, this is my beautiful little thing. It actually never comes out of the box. I bought a 1972 U47 FET, which just sounds great with my voice. And it engraved on the side is EMI, because it was owned by EMI Studios.
Really?
So, yeah, it's a really fun little nugget. So anytime I'm singing, when I feel confident enough to take it out of its box, I can just see my preamp EMI, and then I see my microphone EMI, right. And it just kind of puts me in that zone, you know, like it propels me into this.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the magic touch a little bit. So, and it sounds like almost like you save that for special occasions too.
Exactly. Well, I as soon as I bought it, something went wrong with it right away. And I just kind of, it cost so much to fix it. And I just kind of, I got a little bit paranoid about it, but I just, it is fine now, and I'm taking it out again. But I just wanted to own gear that, yeah, I don't want to, of course, I'm a little bit, you know, I like brands. I like Adidas.
Yeah.
I like Levi's jeans. Like, why wouldn't I want the best of the best? And I have a Neumann from 1972. And I have a preamp that I paid more than I should have, but it says EMI on it. It's got these big, cool knobs, you know, for, I guess, imagine, you know, everybody says, oh, in the 60s, if you can remember the 60s, you weren't there, ha, 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 whatever. But it's true. The knobs are so big, you can't miss them. Like, they're so cool. It's this beautiful kind of gray face, black knobs. It's really fun. Like, if you're like a tactile person, and I love the aesthetics of it all, you know,
and it's true. Do you have a favorite guitar that you play?
I do have a favorite guitar I play. I own two Epiphone Casinos. If anybody knows them, they were made famous by the Beatles. Paul, George, and John all owned one. Mm-hmm. And I bought one for my 40th. It's a Japanese, same year as me, 1975, that I actually sold and I bought back. And I just got it back recently. It's the best guitar I've ever played. It's from,
really? So it's like the same, your own personal guitar you bought back, or you bought back another like version of it?
No, I bought back the exact same one, because
really?
I miss it so much. It plays better than my 1968 All-American Epiphone Casino, which is worth four times more. Uh-huh. But both of them have their charm, and like, you know, they're, you know, quote unquote, the same guitar, but not at all. But this American, I just found myself being like an old man, like looking at, you know, with, you know, wiping his Ferrari with a diaper. Like in the morning, I just look at it while I'm sitting down on the toilet. That was my thing. I just stare at it and then I pick it up. Beautiful mahogany back.
And do you name your guitars? Do you name your guitars?
I don't name them. No, I've never thought about it, but if I think of them, I think they're she's, but I mean, they could be he's, just take off the S. I mean, in this day and age, I don't think you could call it a she or he, but I don't name my guitars, but I love them both dearly.
And what's your boat called?
Oh, well, I didn't rename my boat, cause I hear it's bad luck. Unless you break a bottle of wine or a champagne over the over the stern, but I don't want to do that because it's a small lake and I don't want glass going in it. Having said that, I did lose my motor last year on my second sail, so it's at the bottom of the Lake of Two Mountains. If anybody wants to go look for it, but the boat is called Sail La Vie.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good pun. I like a good pun.
It's a good pun, and it's written in like a very kind of what's that called? Cursive kind of flirtatious, yes, old school writing. So it's really hard to read. So it's not too obvious, you know, and it's at the back. It's just so you don't see it that much.
Right. Well, listen, let's listen to, we've got about two or three more songs we want to play here. So let's listen to another song off your album. Let's listen to What Was I Wrong? And then we'll come back and we'll chat. Okay.
Sure.
There ain't no magic for ghosts in the attic, whispering healers and karma dealers, old town wives' tales, drunk beds and hangnails, widow makers and cosmic fakers.
Jason Kent. Jason joins me tonight on Dangerfield, and we're playing a whole bunch of songs off his album Soft Commotion, which comes out on March 31st. And so let's talk about the name of the album. Take us behind what the name of the album means to you.
The name of the album is actually a lyric from the song Age of Emotion. And over the pandemic, I mended a dear friendship with a friend of mine, a musician in London. We hadn't spoken years, and he was helping me out with few lyrics or chord changes. I'd be, oh, which part do you like, this or that part? And I was literally stuck for an album name. I find it the most difficult thing to come up with. And over the course of our speaking, and he had the song Age of Emotion, I was just sending him lyrics going, you know, what do you think of these lyrics? And he's like, well, I don't know about these lyrics for the song, but Soft Commotion which popped out. It's a lyric in Age of Emotion. He's like, Soft Emotion, that's a great album title. And it's like, boom, done.
That's neat.
Literally, just like the album cover. I was just like messing about or just like, oh, there it is. Like when it was already
right,
there.
Yeah, when it's right, it's right. And so then I guess when you're naming your songs, did they have all of these songs like first started with like a melody or have some of them started with the words first?
It's really both. Age of Emotion is literally one of the it's a case. It's a rare case where I wrote down the whole first verse. I'm an agent of emotion in the soft commotion, a bottomless crater, a lover, not a hater. So I had that sitting around for about 2 weeks. And I said, as soon as I pick up the guitar, I'm definitely going to just run with it and probably finish it. And it's exactly what happened. That's kind of rare. I usually come up with the melody first and then I dig and I dig and I dig for weeks. Texting friends and looking through random 70s albums that I have for anything to set off the wheels turning again. Because honestly, I've written probably 400 songs in the last, and they're all recorded in the last 20 years. So coming up with new lyrics and 400. Something that means something.
Yeah.
They're all catalog. It's kind of silly.
Cool.
But you run out of ideas. Mm-hmm. Like how many ways can you put the same jeans on? Like, you know, it's writing lyrics. That's why a song like 1983 is a perfect example of like very few words, just long notes and melody. Like, why did I do that? Because I didn't have any words. Where did I get the words from? A song that didn't make another record. Honestly, it's as I get older, lyrics, it's like pulling teeth at this point.
But you're not saying that about the melodies, which is interesting. You're only finding
the melodies. Yeah.
That's neat. Well, listen, let's listen to another song of yours called Don't Forget the Light. And then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Deep in the mire, I saw the light hanging from the night, waiting for the sky, the birds were low.
That was Don't Forget the Light by Jason Kent. And Jason joins me tonight on Dangerfield. We've been loving listening to the latest songs off his new album that comes out March 31st. And you can find his music at jasonkentmusic.bandcamp.com. So Jason, are you going to be playing these songs live anytime soon? Or what can folks look forward to if they want to see you perform?
Yeah, we're actually doing an album launch in Montreal at the end of April. Before the date was chosen for the album release, I had already booked an evening of Neil Young songs called The Night Is Young that I have with a bunch of friends out of Kingston. So unfortunately, all my eggs are in this kind of Neil Young night that's coming 2 days after the record launch. And I'm also busy touring with Candle at the moment in Quebec. And I have a jam in half an hour with a band called Lucille. So typical me, I'm supporting everybody else except kind of my own thing. But what can I say? I love playing with other people and, I make money doing it.
And where is your show going to be at and what day is it on?
It's on April 26th at a bar on Saint-Denis called Quai des Brumes. And I was kind of thinking of doing an earlier thing rather than one of these cool late things, you know? There's nothing wrong with being in bed by 10 o'clock.
Exactly. So, yeah.
April 26th, Quai des Brumes. And because technically last year when Sunfield's record Late Bloomers came out, we didn't have an album launch. So I was kind of thinking of playing half Soft Commotion, half Late Bloomers. And it'll be the first show with the drummers, Francis Minot. He's never technically played with us live. He's only recorded on the last two records. So I feel bad for Chris Wise, but it kind of makes sense to have the same drummer play live with you. You know, the guy from the record plays the songs. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
I might have to come down and check that out. So
yes. Well, you have a place to stay with us.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being on the show tonight, Jason. It was awesome catching up and I can't wait for everyone to hear your new album, Soft Commotion. And I look forward to seeing you soon and to the world hearing this latest awesome album of yours.
Oh, amazing. Amazing, Mary. Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening. I love playing music and I hope that whoever listens to this can feel that and it can bring them something. And just a little side note, I was flying back from South by a couple weeks ago and the in charge, the guy, the purser, in flight attendant, before we landed, this American guy, we're going to Atlanta before Montreal. He was amazing. He was saying, oh, thanks for flying Delta. We really appreciate your business. And we really care for you and I love you. And oh my God, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, that is so sweet. He didn't say, we love you. He said, I love you. And it was so nice. I was like, I don't know if it's a pandemic or what it is, but it's just people are like, yeah, let's help these people. Let's carry them along. I thought that. So I want to say to anybody out there, I love you, even if I don't know you.
That's awesome, Jason. Okay, you take care and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Sailors who are with us or have gone, sleeping in the shallows all alone. We tend to broken harbors who will never greet the sun, feeling in the spaces one by one. The trunk again, the spirit win, never again, but when will tongues hang in sin? I've got the sinking feeling, and I'm not the only one. Is anyone gonna miss me? Thank you.
only on Indie 101.5 CIOI.
Ice like a waterfall, you float.